It came to pass when Samuel was old, he made his sons judges over Israel. The name of his firstborn was Joel, and second Abiah, and they were judges in Beersheba. And his sons walked not in his ways, but turned aside after lucre, took bribes, and perverted judgment. And then all the elders of Israel gathered themselves together and came to Samuel unto Ramah, and said unto him, Behold, thou art old, and thy sons walk not in thy ways. Now make us a king to judge us like all the nations. But the thing displeased Samuel when they said, Give us a king to judge us. Samuel prayed unto the Lord. And the Lord said to Samuel, Hearken unto the voice of the people in all that they say unto thee, for they have not rejected thee, but they have rejected me, that I should not reign over them. According to all the works which they have done since the day I brought them up out of Egypt, even unto this day, wherewith they have forsaken me and served other gods, and do they also unto thee. Now therefore hearken unto their voice. Howbeit, protest solemnly unto them, and show them the manner of the king that shall reign over them. Now go ahead and give them what they want, but show them what it's going to cost them. You show them the end result of their desire. Well, Samuel told all the words of the Lord to the people and asked of him a king. And he said, This will be the manner of the king that shall reign over you. Now look, he told him right out. He said, This is the way it's going to be. You want a king? Here's what this king will mean to you. He will take your sons and appoint them for himself. His chariots to be his horsemen. Some shall run before his chariots. He will appoint him captains over thousands and captains over fifties, and will set them to ear his ground and reap his harvest and make instruments of war and instruments of his chariots. He will take your daughters to be confectionaries and be cooks and bakers. He'll take your fields. Now listen, you want a king? He'll take your children. He'll take your fields. He'll take your fields, your vineyards, your olivines, even the best. He'll take the best of them. Give them to his servants. He'll take the tenth of your seed of your vineyards and give it to his officers and his servants. And he'll take your men servants and your maid servants and your goodliest young men and your asses and put them to his work. He will take the tenth of your sheep, and ye shall be his servants. And ye shall cry out in that day, because your king you have chosen you. You will cry out in that day because of your king which ye have chosen you. And the Lord will not hear you in that day. Well, he just told them like it was, didn't he? Let's listen to their reply. Nevertheless, the people refused to obey the voice of Samuel. And they said this, and I want you to notice this. They said, Nay, but we will have a king over us. But it's not God's will. He's not pleased. Samuel just told you the outcome. We will have it. How many of those folks will have what they want? Huh? And he said, We'll have a king over us, that we also may be like all the nations, and that our king may judge us and go out before us and fight our battles. You see the ideology they had in their mind? Our king's going, it's going to work for us. Amen. Because he's going to, we're going to be like all the other nations. There was something about the rest of the nations that drew their attention, the pomp. Amen. And the glory. Amen. And in their thinking, Brother Zane, they thought, this is better than what we've got. This is what we want right here. We want a king with a shield and a crown and a throne and all the... We want, that's what we want, because all the other nations have this. And then they get on down to their heart and they say, we want this because he'll go fight our battles for us. And Samuel heard all the words of the people and he rehearsed them in the ears of the Lord. And the Lord said to Samuel, hearken unto their voice and make them a king. And Samuel said to the men of Israel, go ye every man into his city. I want to read another verse real quick in 2 Peter. And I'm going to tie these hopefully together. But I want you to notice something here about this. 2 Peter chapter number 1 and verse 9. But he that lacketh these things is blind, and cannot see afar off, and have forgotten that he was purged of his old sins. He that lacketh these things is blind, and cannot see afar off. Is that, do you call that nearsightedness? Is that what that's called? How many knows? Huh? Is that nearsightedness when you can't see afar off? How many's nearsighted in here? Earthly speaking, a lot of people. I think that's what I am when I can't see that clock. Is that right? Or is that stubbornness? What is that? Huh? There's a message here. I don't know if I can preach it. Maybe not. But these people wanted, they desired a king. They could not see beyond today. They could not see what having a king was going to cost them. They got what they wanted. But what did they lose? What did they have to surrender to satisfy that longing for the day? Could I tell you tonight, I feel the Lord give me this message. And I was studying, I told Brother Noah, I was sitting over there. And I really didn't know about the sight thing. And I had studied this out. And I, in my mind and my heart, I felt God gave me this message. It's as sure as I've ever had a message. I felt God give me this message. Amen. The other day, just a couple of days ago, about them desiring this king. You know, if you're not careful, you'd think that was God's divine program for them. But it was not his program for the time. I can't go and judge ahead and what would have happened if they hadn't desired a king. Maybe David was the one he wanted in the beginning, brothers. I don't understand that. But they got Saul. They got a king that did everything, amen, that Samuel told them they want, he would do to them. I think, Brother Charlie, sometimes our lives would be affected so much if we had better foresight. Amen. Come on now. We can see down the road. Somebody say amen. That's what Samuel tried to do. These people didn't think Samuel was in. Amen. They said, you're old. And you know, that was right. He was old. But that did not mean he was not God's man. His boys were sinners. But that did not mean Samuel was a sinner. Amen. They were judging Samuel because of what his sons was doing. Amen. They had no right, amen, to reject Samuel. Amen. I don't know why they rejected him. Maybe they looked at the king of the Philistines and saw the chariot wheels and the pomp and the political, amen, array, amen, of this king. But you know, they had not enough discernment to know that if they get that king, they'll have to get all the other things that goes along with that king. And along with that king goes servitude. It goes the loss of your children. It goes 10% of your sheep, 10% of your fields, 10% of your crop. Amen. There goes your liberty.
Amen. Somebody say amen. I want to ask you some of the things we desire to have simply because everybody else has it, because the world enjoys it. Amen. Can I tell you this tonight, church? The real church of God has never been worldly, and the world has never been saved. You hear what I'm saying? It's never worked like that. Amen. These folks looked across the fence, and the grass was greener on the other side. If I can only have this right here. Amen. But amen, they got the desire of their heart. You know the Bible said that He would give them the desire of their heart and turn leanness to their soul. You keep whining and you keep lusting after the world and you keep loathing, amen, for that thing that's not right. And God's going to let you have it after a while. But when you get it, you're going to lose the good things that you have that you don't want to give up. Somebody say amen. Amen. So many people want their cake and want to eat it too. But brother, you can't have, amen, this world and what the world has and have the anointing and have the peace of God. Hey, I'm preaching to you tonight. Amen. Last night in my sleep, if I slept any, I had to sleep enough. The Lord rattled me sometime between 1 and 4 o'clock. And He just said these words, nearsighted, a far country. Huh? That got me to studying again, Brother Robert. I said, Lord, that goes right along with my message. Amen. These people, amen, they could not see. I am talking to people sitting right here. You know, sometimes those things, Brother Arthur, were so subtle. Looking off at a king and looking at all of them soldiers standing there in attention, you think, man, that looks great. But see, you don't see the whole picture. You don't see the fact that those young men have left families at home, left moms and dads at home. Somebody is needing to plow the field, and there they are. Amen. They don't see the hardship and the training. Amen. And the sacrifice. Amen. Somebody help me preach a little bit. I want to tell you tonight, I feel in our little church sitting right here under the sound of my voice, there are folks, amen, and it's just the devil. Amen, that's causing you to look over the fence and think the grass is greener and think if you wasn't an old holiness person, you didn't have an old holiness church, if your parents wasn't holiness, if your wife wasn't holiness, if your husband wasn't holiness, then you could venture out, amen, and have what the world has. But I want to tell you right now and mark it down, amen, that I said it tonight, you cannot have the looseness and the floosiness and the carnality of the world and have the move of God too. You cannot have it. You say, I know a church that lives like they want to and running 500. Oh, I didn't say that. I said you can't have the power of God. Amen. Come on now. You can't have a king, amen, and have your liberty. You hear me? He said you give them what they ask. There's folks sitting under the sound of my voice. You have been craving something you ought to not crave. You want the preacher to shut up and sit down. You're wanting something to change so you can have that, amen, thing like the other nations have. But I want to warn you now. You might be desiring Naaman's, amen, garments like Gehazi did. But little did Gehazi know, Brother Zane, when he got those gifts of those garment, that leprosy, I never thought of it like this before, but that leprosy that Naaman had was in those garments, amen, and when Gehazi got the garments, he got the leprosy. I want to ask you holiness people, are you willing to sit up at midnight hour with your head in your hands crying over your daughter, amen, that's in a family way, or your son that comes home drunk, amen, somebody help me preach, or are we going to stay with holiness, amen, and preach the gospel, amen, and live for God, and be satisfied with God's way, amen. I'm sure old Samuel didn't look too spiffy with his old prophet's garments and his old camel skin mantle.
In his old holiness way, Samuel, you won't spot Samuel's life. Brother Zane, it's ironic. You can't spot Samuel. You say, well, his kids wasn't no good. It happens to the best of men. You know why it happens like that? Because everybody must answer to God for themselves. And if your daddy decides that you're going to be a holiness man, and you don't, you won't. Come on now. You can't hardly spot Samuel's life. But I want to tell you, and I want to preach it right now. I am seeing too much. Amen. And right in our little church here. Amen. Folks have got to thinking that the old time standard is not worth mentioning. But I want to tell you, if it's in the Bible, it came from the heart of God. And if it came from the heart of God, we need to hear it. And we need to take it serious. And we need to live it. Praise God. And I want to tell you something. You can desire the pomp and the gold and the majesty and the pleasure of sin for a season. But when that season is over, amen, you've got Naaman's garments and now you're a leper white as snow. Hey, you may have nearsightedness when you look at the far country. But brother, that prodigal woke up after a while in a hog pen. Amen.
You look at the attitude. I'm not going to preach long. It's almost 8 o'clock already. I feel the Holy Ghost on me. Naaman came to Elisha. He said, I'm going to give you a gift for healing me. And Naaman said, I don't want nothing you have. But Naaman was a captain of the host, and he had a great, great crowd with him, and he had nice clothes. And Gehazi, he'd followed that poor old preacher around. He might have been tired of that way of living. And he got a desire. Listen to me. That's where it starts. The Bible said we're tempted when we're drawn away of our own lust. We have nobody to blame but ourselves. You say, the devil tempted me. The only thing he has on you is his eyes, as long as you are right in here. Help me preach. He came to Jesus. I don't hear Jesus standing up and say, the devil's been on my back all day. He said plainly, the Word of God. 3 scriptures out of the book of Deuteronomy sent the devil packing. We're tempted when we're drawn away of our own lust and enticed. Oh, I can see this board meeting, this great group, this committee, brothers, ain't coming to the preacher and saying, amen. And notice they pick faults with him. You want to find a fault with the preacher? Just talk to his wife. Have you got all day? You can find them. They found them with Samuel. You're old, Samuel. Now, what in the world could he do about that? Huh? I used to pick at me, Sister Helen, because I was young. And that day's gone now. I wish they was picking at me again. Huh? You're old, Samuel. You're old, and your boys ain't doing right. We want a king. Samuel, it grieved him because he felt rejected. He felt rejected. And God said, they're not rejecting you, Samuel. They're rejecting me. You give them what they want. Oh, that is the saddest words for Israel that God could have ever said. You give them. How many of y'all would like to God everything you prayed for? Huh? Oh, come on now. How many of you would have liked God to answer, but God in His mercy, He just shakes you around a little bit and says, you don't need that. Well, help me preach a little bit. How about your desires tonight? I feel like I'm preaching to some people in this place tonight whose desires have got out of hand and they're looking across the field. But you know the greenest grass. You know where the greenest grass in my yard is? It runs on that sewer line. I want to tell you something. Just because it shines does not mean it's gold. Help me preach a little bit. I want God to stir your heart tonight. I want a king. I want one like everybody else. Do you know if you're fitting in with the world, you're probably out of step with God? Amen. I don't think we have to be dusty old relics. Amen. No, but we will be different if we live this Bible. Oh, somebody look at me now and help me preach to you. You're letting your desire for the world or beauty, amen, or carnality, or to be accepted in this world affect the way you look and act and walk and talk. And God's going to tell you in a few days, all right, you can have it if you want it, but you ain't gonna want it after you get it. Let me tell you what I've seen. I've seen folks get a desire for the world, a desire for lust for something else. And this is true, and I've seen it dozens of times. I've seen it on both ends, the men and the women. I've seen men leave good women and go out there machoing around and chasing other women and catch them one. And in just a few weeks, it's right back, nip and tuck, fuss and fight like it was with the first woman. And they leave the second woman sitting and they're out hounding around. They wanted it, but they were like Amnon when he said, I love my sister Tamar. I love her, he told his best friend, his own sister, half-sister. He said, I love her. I've got to have her for my own. And his friend, Jonadab, plotted away, and he used the word, Sister Hildred, love. Just like his carnal world is using the word love, amen, to get what they want in this world. But I love you. His own sister, he said, I love you. And he forced her, amen, and he molested his own sister, amen. And as soon as he was, amen, satisfied in his carnal mind, he hated her. How long did it take? Hey, how long did it take for him to start hating her? It took about 30 seconds after his evil desires were satiated. Amen, I want to tell you, you've got a lust to be something you ought to not be. And when God lets you have it, you're going to be sick of it.
I've seen it, Brother Robert. I've seen them girls doll up and get loose, got a husband at home, and Justine Holly is slim and skinny as they want. And I've seen them go after the macho guy, thinking it's a better life, and the fast car, and the big money, and the sweet words, and the amen. And the next years down later, there they are, a kid on each hip, and hair stringing, and not time to take care. And where's the man? He's out finding him somebody else. You say it ain't true. You know it's true. You say, I want it. That's what they said. Amen. I see this king. I want this king. I want this life. But you've got to take everything that comes with that life. I want Naaman's garments. And they may have looked nice on him, but they killed him. Oh, God. Oh, God. How many have ever heard the old Baptist preacher R.G. Lee preach on payday someday? You ever hear that message? Somebody gave me a tape of him preaching that message. Kind of a dry old Baptist preacher, but he had a message. And in that message, payday someday, he told about a young girl, cheerleader in high school, the beauty queen, homecoming queen, won the beauty contest of the town. Beautiful girl. Long auburn hair,
Just a healthy beauty. Because of her beauty and because she subjected herself to beauty contests, men were attracted to her like vultures. And one smooth dude talked her into marriage. And then he used her and abused her, cheated on her, treated her bad. Her beauty, amen, meant nothing to him after that. She got so bitter. True story. She got so bitter, she waited on him to come home from one of his flings. She killed him. R.G. Lee said that witnesses that he talked to, they put her in the old electric chair and they shaved that auburn hair and they set the cap on her skull and she went into eternity. What are you talking about, preacher? You may get what you want, but you'll lose what you got. Why can we never be satisfied? Why is man never satisfied? Is anybody helping this preacher in here tonight? It's time we wake up. What's the difference? It's the sight. God said, I want you, but you give them what they want, but I want you to give them one chance. I want you to go tell them what it's going to cost them. They're going to take your children. They're going to take your sons. I wonder, Brother Matthew, I wonder if parents, amen, of young men just like you that are hooked on drugs and vile, I wonder if they even realize that back 18 years ago, if they'd have done it right, they'd have kept them out of prison. It happened so subtly, amen, upon them, but God wanted them to know. If God hadn't have told them, amen, they'd have got them a king and all this would have happened. It would have caught them by surprise and their ignorance would have cost them. But God told them, just like I'm telling you tonight, and I've told you for 17 years, and other preachers before me have told you, you may have sin, but sin with a price tag. You might get the cravings of this world. Amen. And it's a free market enterprise. You can get anything that your greedy hands can get a hold of, but you have to pay for it. You show me one person that chose sin over Jesus Christ. You show me one person that's satisfied with that. Amen. You'll not be able to. Why in the world can't we? Why can't we be satisfied with old Samuel? He's a prophet of God. He just set up Ebenezer. He just defeated the Philistines. Amen. By just raising his hands and praising God and seeking God and whip. Amen. What's wrong with living holiness and having the Holy Ghost and the Spirit of God? It's won every battle before. What makes us think that something cheaper is going to get it done for us? It ain't going to do it. Can I tell you something I feel in my heart? Somebody here tonight's getting ready to lose every good thing they've got in their life if they don't listen to what God's saying. You see, a lot of folks, they don't want the raw sin sewage. They want to be able to go to church, live a good formal life and still dabble in the pleasurable things that they enjoy. And the preacher come to church and the preacher pet them and talk smooth things and tell them how powerful they are in Christ and all this, and then go back and drink and indulge at the trough of the world. But you see, every sin brings leprosy with it. You can't have the garments without having the destruction with it. It don't matter what that little pet thing is that you're loving so much. Amen. If you desire it and it's not right with God and it's not in the plan of God, amen, you're going to have to pay dearly for it. And somebody in this house, You've enjoyed the blessings of God and the grace of God, and things are as well as they are with you. I'm telling you the truth. You say, who am I talking? I'm talking to whoever God told me to say this to. You've enjoyed the faithfulness of your family because of God in their life. And you've enjoyed the blessings of God because somebody was praying in that house. But you're getting ready to lose. You hear me? Did you hear me? You see, if judgment was executed speedily, then we'd be more fearful of sin. But it's not. Some men's sins goes before them to judgment, and others follow after. If everybody committed one sin, died on the spot, and everybody seen them kicking and rolling and giving up the ghost, they'd say, I ain't doing that. But everybody that sinned, the Bible said, the soul that sinned is going to die. You know, this prophecy that God gave Samuel, it came to pass. It came to pass more than one time. King after king after king led them into idolatry, led them into perversion. They run their children through the fire. Huh? The last king on record. Was his name Zedekiah? Nebuchadnezzar put his eyes out. Before he put his eyes out, the last thing Zedekiah saw was his children, his sons, slaughtered before his eyes. And then they put his eyes out. The last memory of vision he had was his boys bleeding to death. And their eyes were put out. And I can hear Samuel saying, hey man, you don't need a king. But we want a king like the other nations to fight our battles. We want to make it easy on ourselves. Self is destroying you. You want to make it easy on yourself. You know, God's at the point in somebody's life tonight to give you what you've been asking for. But you're going to lose what you got. Would you stand with me tonight? The reason God sent Samuel to tell him was to give him a chance. If they'd listened to all that and then rejected and said, well, let's just stay with Samuel, it'd have been better for them. But they said, we will have it, and there's nothing you can do about it. And that's where we're at today. You're saying, I'm going to do it. And God's saying, go ahead. But don't forget, the wages of sin is death. Would you bow your heads with me just a minute? I know I've acted real strange to some of you tonight. Some of you count it as foolishness. But the Bible said it's foolishness to them that are perishing. If you think it's foolish to warn people like this, then there's something wrong. But you're in this house tonight. I've tried to preach to you. I've preached and preached and preached to you. Amen. You're going to get what you want. But it's going to be the saddest thing. Why don't you come tonight and pray and ask the Lord and say, Lord, don't give me what my worldly heart desires, but change my heart and put the right desires there that I might serve God in the beauty of holiness. Give us a king like other nations, but other nations aren't right. Let's stick with Samuel. We're going to pray, and I'd like for everybody just to come that feels like praying. Come and pray for me. If you don't have a burden for nobody else or yourself,
Oh, get a burden for me. I want God to help me. Oh, let's check our desires out tonight and ask the Lord if our desire is wholesome and pure. Let's seek the Lord tonight.